Hi everyone, welcome back. We've just come through the month of May and a number of people have written in asking questions. As always, many thanks to the people who write in expressing appreciation. Essence Revisited was released in the last little while and a number of people have written in expressing appreciation for that. Thanks again to Marcus Fellows for establishing this website and for posting this response to the questions that have come in. Once again, whatever is offered on this website is merely for your consideration. I'm not asking you to believe it. Whatever is offered needs to be related to your actual experience, and you take from it what you take from it. So to begin, a person has written in saying, in your book, Dismantling the Fantasy, you write, you don't have to make yourself obey the river of life. There's nothing but the river. The ego is a movement in that river. On the following page, you give a description of the river. Maybe it's restless and irritated, maybe it's calm, maybe it's angry, etc. My question is, are the descriptions calm, restless, angry, descriptions of the ego, which appear as a process happening on its own and which would seem to arise from our conditioning? Secondly, if we leave it alone, as you suggest, do you mean by not identifying with it, our self-centered focus tends to drop away? In this particular situation with Dismantling the Fantasy, the descriptions of calm or restlessness or anger or irritation, they weren't specifically descriptions of the ego. It was just another attempt to point to the formless event of the moment. It's the same with this term, the river. Life isn't actually a long river. All anyone is ever seems to experience is simply the happening of the moment. And that moment is flowing. So the term river is really just another way of expressing this flowing quality. And there's really no way to describe this event at all, although it seems to present apparent forms, and some of the apparent forms are these passing moods or passing emotions, apparently passing moods or passing emotions. So there are these labels for these nebulous forms that arise and pass. And again, this is just a way of pointing to the formless event of the moment. So I'm saying that if we sit down and do absolutely nothing, the moment presents itself in whatever way it presents itself. It may be what is apparently a moment of calm or a moment of restlessness or a moment of anger or a moment of irritation. And whatever it is, it's moving on to something else. And if we do nothing at all, it will move on to something else. If we make no effort to clear away a particular mood, that mood can't stay in place because it doesn't have a particular form. Whatever it seems to be is automatically moving on to some other appearance. Now, there's no way of saying how long it will take for that change to occur, but in any moment it's changing in some way. It may be very subtle or it may be very radical, but whatever it seems to be now is moving on to something else. So this is a process that's happening on its own, and yes, it seems as though, in general, we believe that these are emotional aspects of an ego that have been created through conditioning. So certain situations have created this conditioning. But actually that's not the case, because those apparent conditions were expressions of nature. Our response, our apparent response to those circumstances is an expression of nature. It's simply the same movement. It's not really divided up into a number of different forms influencing each other. And the second portion of this question is, if we leave it alone, as you suggest, do you mean by not identifying with it, our self-centered focus tends to drop away? It's not really a matter of not identifying with it, because there isn't anybody who could identify with it. It's more a matter of not bothering to buy into the stories about it. In any particular moment, there may be apparent thoughts arising, and those apparent thoughts have an apparent storyline, and the focus may be on that storyline very consistently, even though it varies from moment to moment. There may be an ongoing apparent return to this storyline, but these storylines themselves are a physical event. They're a happening presenting themselves, and they're moving and shifting. So instead of buying into the storyline, if we instead begin to acknowledge that there is this larger event of the moment, it's not just stories. There's what we call seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, and thinking. And that larger happening is an event. It's an automatic flowing. We don't have to really, or there doesn't have to be a particular focus on the storyline. There can instead be a simple acknowledgement of the event. So instead of an ongoing obsessive focus on the storyline, there can be a simple acknowledgement of other aspects of the moment, other apparent aspects of the moment, such as breathing. But you don't have to call it breathing. The happening that we call breathing is expressing itself. The happening that we call seeing is expressing itself. The happening that we call hearing is expressing itself. And there's just a simple acknowledgement of that happening. It makes itself known. There's just the acknowledgement that there is this larger event, and in that, there is a falling away of this obsessive focus on the storyline and a simple acknowledgement of the event of the moment. And the more this event is acknowledged, the more it becomes obvious that this is the basic essence of our life. It's this flowing, shifting event, and that the storylines can't ever truly describe this event, because the storylines are always describing form. There's no way to describe this event. It's only possible to indicate that this event is happening. So here it is, the happening of this moment, moving, shifting, and dancing. And in that acknowledgement, the self-centered focus tends to drop away. A second person has written in saying, there is a feeling here of melancholy, and it comes with inevitable stories of genetics and life experiences, old stories attempting to understand these feelings. If I understand the teaching, could I say then that it is not my melancholy nature expressing itself, but an expression of an unformed mystery? And since everything is movement and change, it will pass without psychological insights, intervention, or other forms of attempted control. So yes, from this perspective, this is saying that if there is this apparent melancholy arising, it is not your personal melancholy nature expressing itself. Instead, it is the larger expression of existence expressing itself. Melancholy isn't a personal creation. Love isn't a personal creation. Insight isn't a personal creation. All of this is the movement of nature. Everything we are is an expression of nature. So we don't create our bodies. We don't create our brains. We don't create our particular needs. We don't create our particular interests. We don't create our particular concerns. We don't create our abilities, our talents, or our lack of abilities. All of that is an expression of nature, and it's quite obviously an expression of nature. everything we are is an expression of nature. From this viewpoint, but we can even drop this viewpoint and simply acknowledge the mysterious, unformed happening of this moment without doing anything at all. The happening of the moment goes on presenting itself. The happening that we call this moment, the sense that something is occurring in this moment, even if we don't call it anything or we make no attempt to do anything at all, this event still presents itself. And that is a totally mysterious happening. It's not something we can describe as personal or impersonal. It's not something that anybody's doing. And everything we are, everything we apparently are, is an expression of that dance. That dance is never the same from moment to moment, although certain moments can be so similar that it seems to be a continuation of the last moment, the last apparent moment. But actually, if we begin to acknowledge this dance, it may become apparent that it's never the same from moment to moment, and whatever it's expressing right now is automatically on its way to some other expression. So if it's expressing melancholy, without making any effort, that melancholy will at some point fade away, and there will be the appearance of something other than that. There's no way of saying how long that will take, but it will automatically move on to some other apparent appearance. And this will become obvious if we acknowledge the larger event rather than the small storyline, the storyline that is one small portion of this event, rather than constantly focusing on that storyline. If we acknowledge the larger event, the seeing, the hearing, the touching, the tasting, the smelling, and the apparent thoughts coming and going, we don't have to call it anything at all. There's simply the acknowledgement that this larger event is presenting itself right now. It will become obvious at some point, or it may become obvious at some point, that this is a moving, shifting, flowing, dancing happening. And that whatever it seems to be in this moment is automatically on its way to another appearance. Someone else has written in saying, when I was 11, the subject of death came crashing into me, and I spent the next 40 years of my life trying to find a way out. My emotions have always been a source of trouble, and I tried all kinds of therapies to alleviate the pain, to no avail. I have looked to my mind for the surcease from sorrow. I've read hundreds of books, attended lectures and workshops. I've tried various religious practices, and still and yet no peace. Now it seems that the source of all the seeking and suffering is the belief in a me that is seeking, sensing, and studying. Now what? So now you might consider having another look at this apparent life journey. And more than that, or less than that, simply have a look at the happening of this moment, because this moment is your life. Nobody is actually living in the past or living in the future. Our life is the happening of this moment. So if at this point we're beginning to question the story of a me that is seeking and sensing and studying, then we really have to come to acknowledge this moment very clearly. So once again, we can begin to consider our most basic experience of life. So right now, we don't have the feeling that we created our body. We don't have the feeling that we created our brain. We don't have the feeling that we created the needs that we have. We didn't decide at some point that we were going to need to eat or need to go to the toilet or need to clothe ourselves in cold weather. We didn't decide at some point that those were going to be our needs. We didn't decide what our particular interests were going to be. Some of us really enjoy science. Some of us really enjoy art. Some of us are interested in having a family. Some of us are interested in spending a life traveling. We didn't decide what our particular interests were going to be. We didn't decide what our particular concerns were going to be in this moment. Some of us are worried about a career. Some of us are worried about a relationship. Some of us are worried about our health. We didn't decide what these particular concerns were going to be. Nature has simply presented them. The happening of this moment is presenting all of this. We didn't decide what our abilities were going to be, and we didn't decide what our lack of abilities are. They simply are what they are. This apparent life journey that we took has always exhibited itself as an ongoing changing event. So at one point we were what seemed to be 4 years old. At another point we were what seemed to be 10 years old. At another point 20 years old. And there were apparent accompanying changes to all of that. That's our most basic experience of life, that everything is changing. And try as we might to try to control this changing, to control this event, it hasn't worked. So with this particular individual and this particular question, it's becoming apparent that maybe this whole story of someone being in charge, this might not be the case, that the belief in this story of a me that's been on a life journey, a me that has been accomplishing all of these various things, a me that has been sensing existence, a me that has been seeking truth or studying, that this storyline might not be the truth. So we sit down and acknowledge the happening of this moment. In order to acknowledge that happening, we really don't have to do anything. We all have the sense that something is happening in this moment. So without doing anything at all, the moment makes itself obvious. If we make no effort to do anything at all, everything goes on presenting itself. The whole process that we apparently are, the whole process of the moment, the whole process of the world, the whole process of the universe goes on presenting itself. There's just the happening of this moment presenting itself. And we can begin to notice the rise and fall of vibrations and pulsations, sounds rising up, changing, fading away, thoughts coming and going, moods shifting, vibrations, pulsations, the heart beating, the breath coming and going. There may be an acknowledgement of this moving, shifting, dancing event presenting itself. It's not necessary to have a constant focus on any storyline. The storylines themselves are an event. They come and go in their own way, in their own time. Even if there is no focus on a storyline, the storylines present themselves in whatever way they do. The apparent storylines present themselves in whatever way they do. So we have this larger event, the seeing, the hearing, the touching, the tasting, the smelling, and the thinking. And if we make no effort to do anything, if we make no attempt to call it anything, the whole thing goes on presenting itself. And the moving, shifting, dancing quality of this event begins to make itself apparent. begins to make itself obvious. There is simply this mysterious, formless event presenting itself. This is the essence of our existence. The storylines are describing form. They always describe a form of some kind. This event can't really be described because it has no particular form. Whatever it seems to be in this moment is on its way to something else. So we seemed to be 4 years old at one point. Then we seemed to be 10. Then we seemed to be 20. And we're whatever we seem to be now, but it's moving on to something else. Neurons are firing in our apparent brain. The blood is rushing through the body. The immune system is working. The digestive system is working. All of this is occurring on its own. The moods are coming and going on their own. The needs are coming and going on their own. The interests are coming and going on their own. The concerns are coming and going on their own. All of this is a totally mysterious event presenting itself, and it will play out in whatever way it plays out. So at this point, if it seems to have brought up a questioning of this storyline of me seeking, sensing, and studying, this itself is a movement of this mysterious event. And perhaps it's leading on to a falling away of a belief in this storyline and more of an acknowledgement of this mysterious event. But now what? Who knows now what? If at this point there is an acknowledgement of this larger mysterious event, it's likely that there will be an ongoing acknowledgement of that larger mysterious event, an apparent ongoing acknowledgement of that larger mysterious event, and a falling away of a belief in that old storyline, the belief that there was somebody who traveled over a lifetime to get to this point. In any so-called moment, there is only this totally mysterious, formless happening presenting itself. And that is totally inexplicable. There's no way that this can be explained. There's no way that this can be described. How would you describe something that never has the same form from moment to moment? Whatever it appears to be now is moving on to something else. A fourth person has written in saying, "Hi Daryl, thank you for your clear and unique communication. I won't keep using the word apparently in my story or in my question, but it's understood on some level that this is all a story. Over 3 decades of seeking have elapsed here. With the reading of your words, it has become completely impossible to seek for anything outside the present happening. The present event, however, is often not comfortable. Physical aging, weakness, and pain crop up a lot, and life feels like a struggle, just finding the energy to get through a basic day. Insomnia is an issue, so not much of a break from it all at night. Frankly, life feels bleak and empty, literally no hope for relief. I do wish to mention any practical or medical issues are dealt with. I'm not sure what I'm even asking, but there's a despair that often comes with this. I try and hide this from people close to me, as then I have their pity and concern heading my way, which feels like another burden. Would you be kind enough to share any thoughts on what I've written?" The first thing that comes to mind with this question is the fact that this person asking this question seems to be quite clear that life is an impersonal event. It's a totally mysterious, formless happening presenting itself. And yet, the difficulties of life don't end with that realization. What we call the difficulties of life don't end with that realization. It's just simply that we realize that there's no way of explaining exactly what they are. There's no way of really calling it anything, but it continues to present itself in whatever way it presents itself, and it can still present itself with what we call pain and a great deal of difficulty. Often we have teachers of a non-dual perspective who say that if we just realize the impersonal nature of all of this, if we simply realize the totally miraculous parade of ever-changing appearances, that we will end up laughing at our suffering somehow, that we'll be able to just dismiss all difficulty. And this isn't the case. I can pretty much guarantee that when Christ was being nailed to the cross, as those nails were being driven in, apparently being driven in, he wasn't having a chuckle about it. And I can also pretty much guarantee that when the Buddha's back pain was so strong that he could no longer sit upright, that he had to end a teaching in the middle and have somebody else finish that teaching while he went and lay down somewhere, he also wasn't laughing that off. It was difficult. So no matter how much of an apparent awakening we have, for each of us, life is still going to present certain apparent difficulties, even if we no longer call them anything in particular. Those apparent difficulties will still present themselves. Very naturally, when very difficult physical pains present themselves, very naturally there's an automatic response to try to find any kind of medical solution or physical solution that we can. And this person has pointed out that any of the practical or medical issues are dealt with. Very naturally, we would probably explore certain apparent physical therapies, sometimes certain forms of movement seem to offer some relief from pain. But even with all of this apparent investigation, there's no guarantee that certain pains are going to go away. In this great mysterious event of existence, each one of us is apparently a unique expression. So in this world of apparent forms, no two forms are ever the same. No two forms are ever identical. No two snowflakes are the same. No two leaves are the same. No two moments are the same. No two people have the same body. No two people have the same skin composition. No two people have the same breath rate, the same heartbeat. Each apparent person is a unique expression, and so is each apparent life journey. And it may be the case that life presents recurring episodes of what we would call physical pain. And even after the compulsive urge to explore all apparent ways of controlling this pain, life may continue to express those recurring bouts of pain. There may be a loss of energy. There may be a great deal of struggle to get through a basic day. And in this case, there may be this situation of what we would call insomnia, so that there doesn't seem to be any break from all of this, even at nighttime. It's also the case that no matter how much you realize that this is a totally impersonal, miraculous, formless event presenting itself, it isn't going to be a situation of laughing off the difficulty of it. there isn't any there's no way of being glib about physical pain. However, having said all of that, it's also the case that even if life does present recurring bouts of physical pain, it's not a constant, and that even in that situation, there will be fluctuations. Life presents itself in waves. There will be periods where the pain is worse than other periods. There will be moments when there seems to be some respite from this pain. In long-term situations with physical pain, there is a tendency to forget those moments of relief. There's also a tendency to focus only on remembering those periods of difficult pain, and we forget that life still presents moments of pleasure. And so in this difficult situation, we can begin to consider those moments that we do enjoy. There are still things that we do enjoy. This is a unique situation, and no one is going to be able to offer some kind of blanket solution or blanket placebo for this situation. As a unique situation, you may be drawn to investigate the situation. You may be drawn to explore what this situation actually offers in terms of relief from the pain, in terms of things that you can still enjoy, things that you still appreciate. You may be drawn to explore the possibilities of what nature is presenting in this moment, with whatever abilities nature is offering in this moment. Even if it's not possible to sleep at night, it's possible to enter deep states of rest. And there are all kinds of instructions on how to explore that aspect of deep relaxation or deep rest. And for any one of us, if we're drawn to it, it's possible to set aside the storyline, the story that life is bleak, the story that life is empty, the story that it's endless pain, and simply acknowledge the larger event, the vital, pulsing event of this moment. The breath coming and going, what we call the breath coming and going, what we call sounds coming and going, moods rising up, changing, fading away, the happening that we call pressure, the happening that we call warmth or coolness, the happening that we call waves of energy or pulsation, vibration, this larger event of the moment. It's possible to drop that tight focus on the storyline and come to the larger event of the moment. And in that, there's a sense of rest. There's a kind of rest that may be very subtle at first, but the more that larger event of the moment is acknowledged, the more obviously it will become a place of rest, simply resting as the happening, resting as this vibrant, pulsing event. Now, this isn't offering you a way of controlling existence. It's not telling you that if you do this, everything is just going to be incredibly golden and pleasant. It's simply pointing out certain basic facts of existence. That from moment to moment, life is never quite the same. That it's possible to forget that there are still pleasant moments. It's possible to acknowledge that there are moments of relief from this difficult situation. And it is possible to come to appreciate those moments of rest and those moments of pleasure. That it's not constantly a situation of life being bleak. However, I'm not saying what's ultimately possible in this. I'm not saying what life will ultimately present in this kind of exploration. I'm simply saying that if you're drawn to it, there is the possibility of this very subtle and sensitive investigation. And again, it's possibly helpful to remember that the Buddha spent a lifetime with extreme back pain and ultimately died of food poisoning. He experienced weeks and weeks of vomiting and diarrhea before he died. It didn't matter how enlightened he was. That wasn't a pleasant experience. And Christ, no matter how enlightened he was, the experience of being tortured and nailed to a cross was not a pleasant experience. And no matter how enlightened they were, life played out the way it played out. It's an odd thing that if it plays out in that way for these supposedly extremely enlightened beings, it's a curious thing that the rest of us expect life to be a constantly golden event, and that with enlightenment somehow it will result in life being some ongoing golden event. There was a period in my own apparent lifespan when so many enlightened beings and so many enlightened masters were dying of cancer that somebody at some point in a center I was staying in posted a sign saying that awakening doesn't cause cancer. The great saint Ramana Maharshi died of cancer and went through a very long period of extreme pain. Now, he wasn't laughing about the pain, but he wasn't taking it as why me, poor me, only me. It was a totally impersonal event to him. To him, it was simply the pain of life. That didn't necessarily make it pleasant. But he acknowledged it as basically how his life was playing out, how nature was presenting him, or how God was presenting him. He was able to use a number of different terms in his pointing to this larger mysterious event. A fifth person has written in saying, I am 81 years old and I realize that all the achievements, badges, all the many adjectives describing myself are meaningless. It is a kind of freedom with the slate wiped clean, but still the many faces of the ego show themselves from the past in thoughts, actions, and reactions. So I sit back and watch the show, but I feel so helpless. And who is watching? Within this so-called awakening process, it may become apparent that the storylines are false. Yet, no matter how much it becomes apparent that these storylines are false, these apparent storylines still present themselves. So there's this very subtle aspect of what we call thought or what we call description or a storyline, in that the storylines are a mechanical movement. It's almost like life is this organic machine and it simply shifts and dances, presenting all of these passing appearances. And the storylines are one of the things that are being pushed forward. So these storylines, if the focus goes on the storyline, it goes on a description of various forms. However, if the focus goes on, the apparent focus, goes on the larger event of the moment, what we call the seeing, the hearing, the touching, the tasting, the smelling, and the thinking, we come to realize that thinking isn't everything, and that in a simple acknowledgement of what we call the seeing, the hearing, the touching, the tasting, the smelling, the vibrations coming and going, the pulsations, the breath coming and going, this happening, even if we don't call it anything, an acknowledgement of this larger happening reveals that there is simply this event that's always shifting and dancing. And that the thoughts themselves, even if there's no strong focus on thought, the thoughts come and go as a portion of this event. Now, realizing this larger event, realizing this formless, inexplicable happening of this moment, you know, if we sit and make no attempt to do anything at all, and there's a simple acknowledgement of the larger event, this larger event makes itself obvious. Even if it becomes incredibly obvious, the storylines still remain as part of the event, as part of the expression of this organic machine. The storylines still come and go. Even if we realize that those storylines are totally false, that they're describing form and the actual happening of the moment has no particular form, that everything we've ever known is changing, and we have the sense that it's changing, so that the appearance of form is actually some kind of illusion. Forms are simply slow change. If we were looking at smoke, it would be very obvious that the smoke has no particular form. If we look at a mountain, it seems that it has a form, but it doesn't actually have a form, because each and every aspect, so-called molecule and atom of that mountain, are moving and shifting in some way. They're changing in some way. This mountain has no actual form. And certain mountain ranges that were once very dramatic are wearing away, and now they're nothing more than hills, and at some point they'll be nothing more than flat land. It just happens very slowly. However, even if we see that these storylines are false, they're not describing what's actually happening here, there can be a very subtle storyline that someone is watching this, that there is someone who's separate from the event, somehow being abused by the event, or pushed around by the event, someone who's helpless and subject to this greater movement of existence, someone who's watching this, someone who's separate from this event. This is a very subtle storyline that can also be acknowledged to be false. This story that I am sitting here watching existence is yet again another storyline that we've been trained to think. Another set of labels that were not there when this event first presented itself. So, once again, I use this example a great deal, but if we have an infant that's 1 hour old, and I hold the infant up, and I ask the infant, what's happening in this moment? The infant isn't going to give me any answer. For the infant, there isn't even any question. The words have no meaning. What we would call words, those aren't words to this child. They're simply a happening that isn't labeled in any way whatsoever. And even in our apparent storylines, we all have the sense that it took a long time for someone to train us to label all the different aspects of this great mysterious event. we apparently came out of the womb. When we came out of the womb, there was no storyline. We didn't have the word nose or the word mouth or the word boy or the word girl or the word awareness or the words object of awareness. There was just one big mysterious happening. Basically the same mysterious happening of this moment. The warming, cooling, sounding, silencing, lightening, darkening, vibrant, pulsing, waving, happening of this moment. Not those words. Those words aren't trying to explain this happening. It's simply pointing to this event, this dancing event of this moment. Even within our storylines, when this moment first presents itself, there is no storyline. So every one of us was that apparent infant, 1 hour old. And there was no storyline. It took a long time to take on these labels, to eventually take on the story that there is someone sitting here watching what's occurring. So now in this moment, if we simply rest, make no effort to do anything at all, and there's a simple acknowledgement of the larger event of the moment and not a tight focus on these storylines, it becomes apparent that there is this event and the storylines are simply part of the event. Even if there is no focus on these storylines, the storylines will present themselves at some point and make themselves obvious. The happening that we call seeing will make itself obvious. The happening we call hearing will make itself obvious. Even if we don't call it anything, even if we drop all the stories of someone watching this happening, the happening makes itself known. It's not divided up into something watching this, something sensing this. The whole idea of senses is a description of a form that doesn't actually exist. The word seeing is simply a sound that points to a happening that's not a word. And in resting, without making any effort to label anything or do anything, the event, the mysterious event of this moment presents itself, and the storylines are simply passing portions of this event. The labels are simply meaningless sounds and symbols that are a passing event. Now, this may or may not become apparent. There can only be a pointing to this event. There can only be a pointing to the limitation of thought, the limitation of storyline. There can only be a pointing to this focus on storyline and a pointing to the larger event of the moment in which there is not an ongoing focus on a storyline. There is instead the realization of a larger mysterious event simply happening on its own. A happening that, even if it's not called anything at all, it continues to present itself. From this so-called perspective, be very careful with the idea that there is anything watching this event. That's another story. In the same way that the word pressure is a meaningless sound that simply points to this mysterious event that gets called pressure, the word watching is simply a meaningless sound that points to this mysterious event of the moment. And in fact, it points to even less than the word pressure points to. Because the word pressure actually points to a happening that makes itself known. The word watching points to nothing. No one has had an experience of an awareness watching anything. There is the happening of the moment. There's never any experience of anything that's watching the happening of the moment. There's just the mysterious happening of the moment. A sixth person has written in saying, "Dear Daryl, since it was realized that this identity called me was not at all real, but merely a movement of energy, there's a great sense of confusion on how to function in the world of appearance. All reference points or identities have disappeared, and it feels as if I have been born here without a manual or instructions with which to move and operate within the appearance. It is easy to figure out that nothing needs to be figured out on one level, as the body naturally wants to survive and will instinctively move towards the fulfillment of the basic needs of food, water, clothing, and shelter. What gets sticky in the mind is how to be with apparent others in relationship when it feels like I don't even speak their language any longer. For example, I am a father of 6 children and have many other titles and stories, none of which have any substance or even validity any longer. And if I shared with them, my children, what wants to be shared, I would certainly be filled with antipsychotic meds and be put away for being what is termed insane. The primary feelings which arise and disappear are what one would call fear and loss of absolutely everything, and then waves of relief and a sense of well-being, which arise and fall away as well. If there is even a question in this, I suppose it would be Ghibli Grack Frizzle Fritz Gorper. Thank you for your precise pointing." As for the most essential element of this question, if there is really a question here, in the same way that the body will naturally want to survive and will instinctively move toward the fulfillment of the basic needs of food, water, clothing, and shelter, very naturally your so-called psychological response to this moment and this situation will make itself known. Without any effort, it's quite obvious that if you start expressing this sense of life being this no thing, in which no thing is actually happening, and all of this no thing is happening spontaneously presenting itself, it's true, in certain situations, people might think you were a bit off and they might suggest that you go on medication. So very naturally, it becomes apparent as to what we can say in a certain situation. And it may become apparent only by saying something very directly and discovering that people are actually not only put off by it, but they might actually be frightened by it. And so it becomes apparent that you can't just go around sharing this with every so-called human being. This is one of the most common concerns in this so-called awakening process, is that when it's realized, the miraculous, unformed, self-expressing or automatic quality of existence, this magical dance of ever-changing appearances, and there's a certain amount of excitement around that realization, it becomes a bit of a letdown, or seems to become a bit of a letdown, that you can't just go out and express this freely to everyone. And in fact, you begin to realize that you have a very limited audience for this, for expressing the realization. So in general, there's really no interest in this realization as far as humankind is concerned. There aren't large numbers of so-called human beings that have an interest in this. Most have a very strong interest in a storyline and a very strong belief in that storyline. However, it's always the case that there is a small number of apparent human beings that have a very strong interest in this realization of the larger miraculous event of the moment. And it will be the case that if you want to share this realization in some way, you will probably end up apparently sharing it with these other so-called individuals that have a great interest in this awakening process. It is also the case that you can apparently share this with others, such as your children, but maybe not in the way that you're wanting to, maybe in not some kind of bottom line expression where you're wandering around saying there is no thing happening, and by that there's no describable thing happening, there's just this, whatever this is, and whatever it's doing it all by itself. You might not be able to express it in those terms, but it's also possible to point out to even very young children that life is ultimately formless, that everything is moving and changing. So, you know, we could get into some subtle philosophical discussion as to whether the word movement and change is actually applicable to this, but really the words movement and change are really simply pointing to this formless quality of existence. And yes, ultimately, since there never was any particular thing that could move or change, you really can't call the formlessness movement or change. But with the rest of society, with the rest of apparent society, and other apparent beings who have absolutely no interest in the formless dance of existence, you can very directly point to the ongoing movement of life. And you can point to the expression of nature. You can point to forests and oceans and the many apparent creatures that are expressions of nature. And you can point out that each and every so-called creature is unique. You can point out that no two snowflakes are the same. You can point out that no two people have the same skin composition or the same breath rate. No two people have the same interests. And with this vocabulary that pretty much everyone is willing to accept, you can point to the formless event of the moment that never expresses itself the same way twice. And many of the same basic freedoms that you might feel in this inexplicable formless dance of existence can be acknowledged with this other vocabulary. It may not be acknowledged to the same subtlety that it's apparently being acknowledged with a non-dual sensibility, but to a great extent, it can be acknowledged with the usual dualistic vocabulary that most apparent people are comfortable with. For each and every person, apparent person, that goes through this apparent awakening process, the process is unique. So for some, it's a radical shift, and there is a certain amount of apparent confusion initially, which will move on to some other expression. And for others, the shift doesn't seem to be that radical, and the sense of confusion around it isn't really that great. For each person, it's different. In every case, it will play out in whatever way it plays out. And in every situation, it's the fact that if you go out in the street and start expressing this to each and every apparent person, be prepared for some unpleasant results. Initially, with this apparent awakening, there may also be an apparent fear of losing everything that we know of. There may be a fear of losing very important aspects of our life, but all that will be lost is illusion. All that will be lost is a belief in these storylines. The things that are essential to our existence, the apparent things that are essential to our apparent existence, will remain. We will not lose anything that's necessary. And for each apparent person, it will play out in whatever way it plays out. And lastly, someone has written in saying, "Hi Daryl, your books are super interesting. I have some questions that I would like to hear your comments on. I'm interested in Zen Buddhist practice with a formal sitting. I feel that it gives strength in facing life's difficult situations, and I feel that sitting makes me happy. I don't know what Zen is about, but what you are talking about sounds familiar in my experience. Do you have any advice as to what to do if I feel that this energy that I am feels like it's a bit too much to cope with? I remember reading from Zen teacher Charlotte Joko Beck's book something like this: if our practice goes too deep too soon, we might get out of balance and we should take it easier. Do you have any advice as to some methods to calm the body-mind, like some kind of energy circulation practices?" So, what to do when the energy is not balanced through the body-mind, but is sometimes too much in the head? Just sitting is sometimes good and sometimes not. Sometimes it's good to focus on the breath and sometimes not. It's probably some kind of unresolved psychological issue that causes energies to flow unevenly in the body-mind. So let me repeat the question. Do you have any advice what to do when one feels that energies in the body-mind are not flowing nicely, but rather unevenly and too much in the head? Maybe this is a stupid question. The answer is probably do some yoga or go see a psychologist. First of all, there are no stupid questions. Obviously, this situation is of some concern to you, and so there's the automatic urge to explore the situation and its possibilities. It is the situation that, in certain traditions that offer a kind of formal practice, this formal practice can become a kind of efforting that it was never meant to be. And this efforting may be accompanied by certain unpleasant experiences or uncomfortable experiences or certain worrisome experiences. No matter what else seems to be offered in a particular tradition, this just sitting practice of Zen, this is a very relaxed sitting. It's not a matter of an intense focusing in some kind of attempt to increase your sensitivity or break through to some other side, break through to some miraculous awakening that you're going to create. The just sitting practice of Zen is ultimately a very relaxed acknowledgement of the moment. Now this, you know, if we sit and do nothing for a period of time, there can be moments that this, the happening of the moment, will express itself in extremely subtle ways, in so that it seems as though each and every nuance of the moment is expressing itself, and often this will be felt as a flow of energy. And it can seem as though this energy is building up in certain portions of the body. We could say, perhaps more accurately, that we're not necessarily accurately, but in a more basic way, that it's not that this energy is building up in a certain portion of the body. It's that the fact that the body is this dancing presentation that we might call energy is becoming obvious in certain portions, in certain apparent portions of the body. And very naturally, the concern about this so-called increase of energy will manufacture, I mean, that is a storyline. The storyline is manufactured that there is this uncomfortable increase of energy in this certain portion of the body, and now we have to do something about it. So the focus, once again, comes off the larger event of the moment and becomes focused on a particular portion of existence, the happening of this moment, and becomes focused on a particular storyline about that happening. Meditation, no matter how it's presented in any particular tradition, is ultimately the simple acknowledgement of the larger event of the moment. The full event of the moment. So in certain traditions you have words like mindfulness. It's not that you're going to use the full aspect of your mind. It's just simply an acknowledgement of the fullness of the moment. And it's the fact that if we sit down and make no effort to do anything, if we drop this constant focus or urgent focus on thought, a larger event makes itself known. Now, how that larger event is going to express itself is unknown. It will play out in whatever way it plays out. So if in this resting with the moment, or just sitting, or doing nothing, or associating with reality, or whatever you want to call it, in this resting, making no effort whatsoever, the larger event of the moment makes itself known, and it will play out in whatever way it plays out. So if you have some concern over the energy flow within the body, that's the mysterious happening of the moment presenting itself in that way, and it may play out in an investigation or an exploration of certain relaxation techniques or yoga techniques. It may play out in investigating whether or not this is related to some psychological disturbance. It will play out in however it plays out. From the aspect of a non-dual teaching or a non-dual perspective, it's really not important how it plays out. All that's important is the acknowledgement that in any moment it's a totally inexplicable happening, a formless happening, presenting itself, and that whatever it seems to be in this moment is automatically moving on to something else. Each one of us is a unique expression. In this world of apparent form, if we look at this world of apparent form, each one of us is a unique expression. Each apparent form is a unique expression. Each snowflake, each leaf, each breath, each moment is a unique expression, and it plays out in whatever way it plays out. Your particular apparent needs, interests, and concerns aren't your creation. They simply are the expression of this mysterious, formless event of the moment. And they will present themselves in whatever way they present themselves, and they will play out in whatever way they play out. I have no particular advice for anyone as to how they're supposed to live their life. I can't tell you what you're supposed to be or how nature is going to express your particular expression. I can say that there are any number of things that could be explored if you're drawn to them. But ultimately, it's your unique arrangement of apparent needs, interests, and concerns that are going to play out. And no one else can tell you what they're supposed to be. No one else can tell you how your life is going to turn out. No one else is going to be able to tell you what it should be. From this non-dual perspective, it's simply pointing out that all of it is a totally mysterious, formless dance presenting itself. Within the storyline of a world of forms, all that can really be said is that you will have to explore whatever you feel is important to explore. From a non-dual perspective, if you are interested in this Zen sitting practice, then as you're simply sitting, simply notice that without any effort at all, if you make no effort at all, the happening that we call this moment goes on presenting itself. The happening that you call yourself, your process, that goes on presenting itself without any effort whatsoever. In any moment, there are vibrations, pulsations. There is what we call warmth and coolness, tightness and looseness, lightness and heaviness, thoughts arising, changing, fading away, sounds arising, changing, fading away. There is this happening that we call seeing. Even if the eyes are closed, there is what we would call a field of perhaps shades of gray, shades of light and dark, or a general field of dark with little points of light, or a general field of light with little points of dark. Whatever presents itself is what's presenting itself. There is just this mysterious happening presenting itself. The next need, the next interest, the next concern will present itself, and it will play out in whatever way it plays out. All of that is happening automatically without anyone's effort. All of that is a totally mysterious, unformed event, because whatever it seems to be in this moment is automatically moving on to another appearance. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter if someone is presented as chairman of the board of IBM or presented as the Buddha. In both cases, it's a totally mysterious, unformed happening, simply happening. And in all the other apparent cases, it's simply a totally unformed, inexplicable happening, simply happening. Some have called this the Great Spirit. Some have called this formless happening that's presenting itself spontaneously, automatically, this ground of all existence, this unformed dance. Some have called that the Great Spirit. Some have simply given it names like God or Tao or Atman. Some have called it energy. Some have called it mind with a capital M. Some have called it pure consciousness or pure awareness. Some have called it the unformed ocean of existence. Some have called it the river of life. Some have called it the universe. The word universe itself literally means undivided turning. It doesn't really matter what you call it. There is simply this formless, inexplicable happening of this moment. And it plays out in whatever way it plays out. There is often some concern that if we acknowledge this automatic happening, somehow we're going to lose control, that we will be helpless, and that somehow life will plummet into endless negativity or spiral downwards into chaos or some unpleasant result. This is just simply the acknowledgement that whatever has occurred thus far hasn't been our doing. It never has been our doing. We are simply a portion of this formless, inexplicable dance. And that in the same way that our life thus far, our apparent life thus far, has been an apparent movement of ups and downs, it hasn't been a downward spiral, only a downward spiral. There has been this dance of ups and downs. If we realize that this is a totally inexplicable dance, a totally inexplicable happening, simply happening on its own, it's not now going to spiral downward only. It will continue to express itself in this apparent dance of ups and downs. And there's no way of knowing what kind of a life will be presented, what a apparent journey will be presented. It always remains a totally formless, inexplicable happening, simply happening, and whatever it seems to be now is moving on to another appearance. It's an endless adventure. Once again, whatever is presented here is simply for your consideration. If you relate to it, great. If not, great. This is not the one and only approach to life. If it's important to you, it's important to you.